The Leafs are back in action on Wednesday down in New York. There's a bunch of games going on today, Martin Luther King Day, down in the States. And here is longtime NHLer, NHL head coach, and NHL on TNT analyst Rick Tockett joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. How you doing, Rick?
What's up, boys? How's it going?
Yeah, we're doing well. That afternoon game, man, we like watching it. How did you like playing afternoon games back when you were in your heyday?
Yeah, it's funny. If you pull guys, I bet you it's 50-50. I didn't mind them. I actually like it. You get up, you have your breakfast, and you just, you know, you go to the rink and you play. I always thought the warming up is really big. You just, you could tell some guys when they don't have it that night, they're just not warm, you know. So I would say 50-50. Like some of the teams I played, some guys hated it. They just couldn't get into it. And they're usually tight games. Usually afternoon games are pretty tight.
Yeah, I never liked afternoon games because I was a routine-orientated guy.
Yeah,
I liked having a nap in the afternoon. I liked having a morning skate to get – but I just always felt that there were so many momentum swings. Like one team kind of was out to lunch in the first period. The other team would kind of wake up in the second and then go back at it. I always felt those were unique games. The way I loved an afternoon game was the minute it was over because you had the rest of your night. You could go for dinner or go for drinks or do whatever you needed to do once it was over.
Yeah, you know what? And sometimes the coach will give you a cookie because, you know, they give you the day off. If you won the game or had a really good effort, they give you the next day off. So, you know, you really get 36 hours off, which was pretty cool. So that would juice up a team a little bit, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Rick, we were talking before you came on about Auston Matthews, who's gotten right back into the Rocket Richard race. And O-Dog said something interesting. He said, you know, he hasn't really had this crazy heater. He's been very consistent. He scores night in and night out. But to me, there's games where maybe he's not as visible, but he still ends up finding the back of the net. I'm not drawing a direct correlation, but you played with Mario. There were nights where Mario was real quiet, but ended up with 3 points. Is that what we're seeing with Matthews?
Yeah, they're really good. You know, and he's right, Jeff, about that. The really good players, it looks like they're not doing much, but somehow you look at the other night and it's like they produce somehow. I'll be honest with you, we did the Arizona game of the Leafs and, the Leafs, I know that, they were just okay. It wasn't they were bad. And I thought Matthews was so dominant. He missed the net. He had a bunch of chances where that's the night where he gets three or four. And I think that night he only got the one. That's the night. Like, I could see, he gets a goal here and there and there, it takes 50, 60 goals any way you want it. But yeah, there's going to be a time where, that night or something, he hits a net or something, he just should have 3 or 4 goals that night.
Talk, what do you make of the Leafs roster, heading into the back end of the season? What do you just make of their overall makeup? What would you do with the deadline? Just general thoughts of their team.
Yeah, I'm always a, deadline, when you're that type of team, you got to look for a D. If you want to go long, you have to find that defenseman. Because there's going to be injuries, and in those 7-game series, those D guys are so valuable. I'll tell you,
are you talking about like a solid NHL player, or you're not talking about some guy you're giving up a 7th-round pick for that's going to be plugged in the final pairing? Are you talking about a quality?
No, I'm talking about a guy that's got to give you some, he's got to give you some minutes, hopefully you find. I know it's hard to find those guys, but at least a guy can at least get 18 to, plus minutes, because you're going against Tampa's and Boston's and stuff, and you're going to have that third pair or, that fifth guy. He's going to have to give you some minutes, go against the Stamkos and Points and all these guys. You can't – it's hard to hide guys all the time in those 7-game series, up front, the godsend is Bunting. That was a great signing by Dubas. I thought and it's funny because I talked to a bunch of teams. They called me about Bunting. And I said, man, you're crazy. I can't believe that Arizona let him go for that kind of price. But, another guy like that, maybe at least in the bottom six, a guy that's just a guy that just continues to a really good checker that can put some, that can place that, a 7-game series and go head to head with some of the big boys in that division. That's maybe another thing they'd look at.
Are you surprised at all that Bunting is playing as well as he is with the high end talent? Like, he's been rolling with Matthews recently and he's fit in incredibly well.
You know what? the superstar guys, I'm telling you, you know, the and you can ask Mirror and the Gretzky's, if you have a guy that just plays north and south, he goes through the hole, you know, he can pass, you know, he can pass it, he can shoot the puck, he goes to the net. It just makes it's an easier game. So, like, if you watch Matthews, you know, with Bunting will give it to him. He just kind of goes to the net and he's just caused shit. You know, that's just what you need. Sorry about that. I thought I was on TNT.
We're not on TNT anymore. Come on.
Sorry, boys. Apologize.
It's all good.
But, you know, he just causes problems. And it's just, you know, he knows exactly where Bunting's going to go. He's not going to play the east-west game. And that's why those guys are successful playing with star players.
Yeah, he's been a real surprise for me. I knew they'd give him an opportunity. I'm not sure Sheldon Keefe saw him playing with Matthews and Marner, but I don't see him moving now because he's fit in as well as he has. And he's filling in for what Zach Hyman supplied for the past 4 or 5 years. And now Hyman's out in Edmonton, and it is getting ugly out there, Rick. I mean, you're tracking it. McDavid's postgame the other night, that is a depressed individual. Like, he is in a bad place. And I feel for him because the Olympics got ripped away from him. That was his chance to go and win a gold, and that's not available to him. And now he's looking at the Oilers. They're in a real bind. Everyone's waiting to see what's going to happen with Dave Tippett, what Ken Holland's going to do. It's ugly. I'm not sure it's rock bottom. What do you make of where the Oilers are at right now?
Yeah, I mean, that last game to me is that's a real punch in the gut. I mean, that's the game you got to win. I always felt in you know, any good player, good team will say, like, there's some games where you just, I don't care how you do it, you got to win the game. I know they were up 2 goals. I watched a little bit. I didn't watch the third period, but you got to do whatever to win that game. I don't care if you got to dump the puck in, if McDavid's got to just, and Draisaitl's just got to play a boring game to get that win. That was a killer. Now the momentum is like, how do you stop the slide, right? You know, obviously structure and you know, it's not, you can't always hit home runs. You can't just, oh, we have to have McDavid and Draisaitl score 3 goals for us to win. They're going to have to grind out a game, a win right now to stop this slide and get some confidence in people. There's a lot of guys lacking confidence on that team.
Well, it should be no problem. They just got Florida coming in Thursday.
No kidding.
Florida, Tampa, I think. You know, they got,
yeah.
Well, listen, no, hey, maybe the stretch of this six-game stretch. This six-game stretch, I think they had a bunch of really top teams. Maybe, you know, if they can get their head out of the water here in these 6 games, maybe this is a turning point for them. I don't know.
Well,
you know,
it's either that or it's death. it'll be real ugly.
I was going to ask, and this is, I mean, I've said this all along, and I've been kind of just, I went back over their last 15 games, and if you look at just statistically, and that's not, you know, that's not the end-all be-all. But I watched that game the other night. They can't get a save.
Their goaltending's so bad.
Know, honest to God, if you just had a goaltender to give you average statistical, you know, I guess value that night, you might be come out on the other end of some wins. But you're up 3-1 going into the third period. They give up an early goal, 3-2. Then the goalie gives it away to make it 3-3. And you can just see the team on the bench go, this is what happened to us in New York. This is what happened. Like, it keeps happening. You've probably played on teams where you're not trusting what's going on between the pipes. How do you get out of that? How do you, how do you build confidence in your group if you can't relax and play your game because you don't trust what's going on in net?
Yeah, that's a huge point. I mean, I've sat on that desk as a head coach where, you know, you lose the game and we have 14 grade A's, the other team has 7. You know, the GM's breathing down your back and you're like saying, hey, well, you know, we just outchanced them 2-1, but they don't want to hear it, right? They're just saying you lost the game. Goalie, you know, is so, like, you know, Darcy Kuemper, when I was in Arizona, he gave our team so much, you know, we didn't have a great team. You know, we had guys that worked hard, but he kept us in games. And so I've been on the other spectrum. As a player, listen, when you have that guy in net who just, you know, look at Vasilevsky. I mean, you know, during that Tampa run last year, there were some games where Tampa was getting outplayed for 12 minutes and he was just on fire. Then all of a sudden, boom, boom, you know, point, those guys score 2 goals in 2 minutes and, you know, they're up 2-0 after the first. It shoots you right in the eyes because it's like you're throwing everything at the team, can't score. They go down a 1-2 on one and score. Or, you know, they get a, you know, floater from on a power play goal type of goal. And it does hurt you. But listen, you know, you got to, you know, they're looking for help. And right now you have to grind it out. I know the goaltenders are a little bit, I haven't really played up to the standard that they want. Even like you just said, Noodles, like just a little bit, you know, just average.
Yeah.
But there is a psyche there when, you know, you guys all played, you know, when the goalie is, you know, when you don't have confidence, it's tough.
Well, that's what I'm wondering also just about the big picture. Like in the moment, you're thinking, give me mediocre goaltending. We'll right the ship here. We'll get back into a confident position, make the playoffs. But big picture, don't you have to take a step back and if you're in Edmonton and say, we can't possibly win a cup with this? Like there's just – how is Mikko Koskinen going to win 16 games in the playoffs? How can you have faith that yeah, that's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the odds of it is pretty slim. You know, I will tell you, it's easier said than done because we've all been in that chair. I still think if you have a struggle in the net, you gotta tweak your system. You got almost like, hey boys, we basically the middle of the ice and it has to be covered. Like we got to give the outside shots and sometimes those are going in on some of the goalies, but you got to really play tight in the middle. Like you can't give up those slot shots. You just can't. Like, you know, Tampa and teams like that can afford to play a little looser because they got unbelievable goaltending. You know, Edmonton doesn't, so they got to really that middle's got to be locked up. You can't give any shots in the middle of the ice. That's just the way it is for now. You know, Dave Tipp's a great coach. He's a defensive minded. He knows defense, so it's not like I'm reinventing the atom here.
Talk, why does the All-Star game suck now? Back in the day, I mean, you were around Mario, and it was like Mario versus Gretz, and everybody actually somewhat tried, and they weren't out of hand with the physicality, but it's gotten to the point where it's unwatchable, it's 3-on-3, nobody, like, I think it's a disgrace, and there's a reason why players don't want to go. Why is it like that now?
Well said. I mean, I said the same thing, and somebody's going to say I'm a dinosaur. Like, I understand you got the sponsors and you got to do this and that. It's terrible. I coached the one in St. Louis, 2 years ago, and we won, but it was painful. Like, you know, I didn't do anything. I just sat there and watched, and nobody tries. I mean, nobody's back-checking. Actually, I'll be honest with you, our team won because of that. I think Dierjano, I told him, I said, he was trying to block shots and stuff, like this guy, like, which was kind of fun to see. And we had a couple of young guys, Tkachuk and Quinn Hughes, and they were actually trying, but the rest of the guys, like it, you know, no offense to them because they all don't try.
It's embarrassing.
I agree. Yeah, right. I'm with you. I know the, you know, the sponsors and all that stuff, but it is kind of unwatchable. I don't think it's something that, like, nobody tries. Like, nobody tries. So,
no.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
I don't think it's going to change down in Vegas. That'll help. The boys will be out the night before until 7 in the morning. That's really going to They do a lot of back-checking and blocking shots. I don't think that's
There's a lot of clubs around here in Vegas, I'll tell you. So, Maybe the game won't go over. Maybe it'll go under because you guys are so tired.
Exactly. You know? Might be the bet the under, the first time ever for an All-Star game. Bet the under. Anyway, it's always great catching up with you, Rick. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, guys, thanks. Take care.
There's Rick Tocchet. Yep, you got it. Former NHLer, NHL coach, NHL and TNT analyst joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.
Ricky with a classic line. He said, all played.
Yeah, that's right. He knows what's up.
I saw that.
He's an Ontario guy. He and I both played, I'm sure, in the MTHL growing up. So maybe that's what he was talking about.
Maybe he's a Barry Colts fan.
Could be.
Hey, maybe a Barry Colts fan. Closet.
Sneaky. Yep. A sneaky, sneaky fan. But, yeah, he had some great lines. I love how he slides. He's like, the odds are slim on Koskinen winning a cup.
Wow. I mean, honestly, I don't know how you guys feel about this. I was texting with you all about it, too. That's the first time. And this is wrong for me to say. I was more disappointed in McDavid. Like, I get it. You're frustrated. It's not like him and Draisaitl. I think they have not been good.
They have not played well. They have not for about a month.
Okay, so I get that. But, like, And you can play frustrated, but somebody said to me in the league the other night, he's like, those guys are skating around with their lip dragging on the ice. They're complaining to the refs not getting calls. They're trying little stop-up plays. Like, I thought, now Ottawa looked a little tired, but I thought their game plan was strong. They did a really good job closing the wall off, and what Edmonton likes to do is use the wall to change sides, and then Draisaitl likes to put his ass out and try and push players off and then create a little space. And the game plan was like, close on these guys, they'll turn the puck over, and then they're not going to work hard to get back. And it was just really interesting. You know, I know McDavid, you know, everyone's like, well, poor McDavid. Well, I don't know. I've seen Alexander Ovechkin for 13 years in Washington, you know, before he won. Sidney, I know, won early on, but then there was times where Marc-Andre Fleury wasn't giving him saves. You know, we've seen frustration from Nathan MacKinnon. These top players, they're the ones who are going to drag them out of it. And I just expect more. Maybe it's because I have high expectations for Draisaitl and McDavid. I know they think they're on an island. But instead of alienating the rest of the team, how about prop them up? That was the first. Maybe I'm
totally,
wrong on that.
I read just, it the exact same way. I thought he looked really disappointed on Saturday night. Yeah, I get that he's dejected. He's not overly comfortable in press conferences. He's not a big personality. He's not a rowdy. That's who he is. You can't hold that against a guy. But he looked dejected. He looked frustrated. He looked like he wanted to say, well, what do you want me to do? You know, basically.
Right.
And that's not the attitude.
Yeah, and I understand what you guys are saying. But just imagine how many times and how many goals and how many point nights. And when you can't get a save, like that,
no,
I'm
I
telling
agree.
You that you age like dog well, years, man. Because
he stopped himself once. Oh, where somebody asked about something, and I swear to God, the next words out of his mouth is like what you were saying, Brian. Like, what would you like me to do? Put the pads on? Because I swear he stopped himself from saying. He was like, yeah, I'm just not gonna. Because it was somebody led him to the question where Skinner turned the puck over and they got a freebie, and he was like, yeah, you know. Is what it is. Like,
it is what
it
is.
I knew that he said that, and I get it. He's not getting saves. They're not. They're playing frustrated. All of that stuff. But I haven't seen that from other leaders and other great players where they're, you know, to me, it's like, I'm going to dig in. I'm going to make sure, like Talk said, we're not losing this game, whatever happened. But there were times the other night where they're up in the game and Draisaitl turns the puck over in the neutral zone and they come back down and get a chance. And they're not playing with that, like,
it's shocking,
hey, this is our
it was,
season.
Is what it is. It's
exactly.
Shocking. To
well,
think of what their team and who they have on their team, and not just shocking that it's actually happening with McDavid and Draisaitl, who are two of the league's best. It's shocking because of the turnaround. It wasn't too long ago. They were out in Vegas and living it up and first in the West and going to the Raiders games and all was good. And now they're in a situation where they're like, they're fighting for their life.
Yeah, they are fighting for their lives.
Agreed.
In the West.
But they have to. And you know what? That's my point. If you're fighting for your life, like, it's simple hockey. It's like, I'm doing whatever. This is their playoffs right now. Like, you know, you're looking at Calgary and stubbed their toe recently. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is, and I think it'll eventually reset. Like, LA's on fire.
Yeah.
Like,
Noodles, I call it playing according to
the
situation.
Nope.
Play
exactly.
According to the situation.
Exactly.
It's like, if you were fighting for your life against Ottawa, you would think every guy blocking shots face first, finish hits. Because there should be desperation where, like, just as Talk said, this whole thing is on fire out in Edmonton. So play according to the situation and show everyone that you care and you're going to get out of it instead of pouting around like you guys were talking about. That is not playing according to the situation.
Well, and what I mean by that is it starts with 97 and 29, like, and it should trickle down. I agree. Like, Warren Fogle shouldn't be curling and dragging guys. Straight line hockey, do what you can. Zach Hyman, all of that type of stuff. But it starts with your top guys, and to me, I could see how dejected McDavid was, but that's the first time I was kind of disappointed in him as to the way he handled it, other than him just like digging in saying, hey, we're going to be fine. We're getting out of this. Don't, like, I'm going to make sure, that type of thing. And I don't know. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but Ray Hayes, you saw the same thing.
I saw the same thing. I've seen the same thing on the ice, though, recently. Like, he is not, he's not playing with as much life. He doesn't look like he's himself on the ice. But his postgame on Saturday was telling, was revealing. I have made this case before. I'll continue to beat this drum. I think he suffered more than anyone else. The NHL is not going to the Olympic Games. That was supposed to be his moment to finally shine. But he can't let that hang over him and let the season get
that
pissed away because of it.
That doesn't hang over somebody. That doesn't.
Man, if it's the only thing you're going to get this year, like if they missed the playoffs and he didn't go to the Olympic Games, that's a dejection. Like that's and that's what he's facing right now. Like they are statistically, I think, based on points percentage, still in or right there. But they're back to a zero goals differential. Zero. Like that's a telling stat. Like if you're on the wrong
when
side,
they were
of it,
like
you're
29
red,
ahead of it.
They were way into the green before.
Anyway,
and
let's
not.
Get to important stuff. If we got a break before break, Kenny, my man, play the clip where Ricky Tocchet mentions Hazy B being a part of the group.
Yeah,
but there is a psyche there when you know you guys all played.
Yes. Love it. Rick Tocchet, my boy, I love it. Love having Rick Tocchet on.